I'm reading from the Wendell Stevens book, UFO Contact from the Pleiades, and I'm on chapter 3, which is a long chapter. Chapter 2 was 27 cards, and chapter 3 is 92 cards, so it's a lot longer. Chapter 6 was done first because it described life on other planets, and I thought that was too interesting to wait for, so I did that first. Now I'm going through the book in order. Chapter 3 is of particular interest because we're on a spaceship, and it's not a spaceship from people from our own universe. The Dal universe, D-A-L, is opposite ours. You might say it's an inverse universe. If we are made of matter, they are made of antimatter. And they were fooling around with science and found a way to enter our inverse universe, and were surprised to find us here. Well, we are surprised to find them here too, especially after what they tell us about their universe. The Dals met the Pleiadians first, and they became friends. And the Dals gave the Pleiadians some technology, which enabled them to do things like cross over into other universes. Inverse universes. So when I heard this, I wanted to be friends with both of them. Samyasi from the Pleiadian star system, but a different dimension, by the way. She's not in our dimension. She's not even in our time. She came back from her future to help us through this difficult period we're in right now. And that's why they trained Billy Meyer. So you have Samyasi from our universe, and you have Asket, who looks just like us, just like the Pleiadians, but she is from an inverse universe. So isn't that weird? Well, I'd like to be friends. I'd like to learn how to levitate a saucer. I would like to learn how to travel to other star systems. Wouldn't that be fun? Billy was taught by Asket, and here's what she looks like. Can you believe that she's from an inverse universe? Only the long earlobes give her away. They come way out in front. But otherwise, she could fit in with us, and nobody would laugh much, especially if she took them for a ride on her time machine. She's the one who took Billy back, Billy and the Russian Jitsu, back to meet Jesus. And you know what Jesus said? I don't like the name Jesus. It sucks. Wow. Jesus was pretty cool. And Randall Winters tells the story well. I'm going to give you the link, and you can come back here when you want, or you can bookmark it and finish up here first. Doesn't matter to me. The link will open in another window, and this window will pause when you click on the link. So you can go there, bookmark it, and then come back here. I have to warn you, those who control what you know do not want you to know about Billy Meyer or any aliens. And they have killed a lot of people to keep it quiet. They don't want us knowing that we're not alone in the universe. They want us as slaves, and so they've put out a lot of disinformation about Billy Meyer, and they've even tried to kill him 26 times. 26 documented assassination attempts. But Billy Meyer has friends in high places, if you know what I mean. Should you believe Billy Meyer? No, of course not. Don't believe anyone. But do hear the evidence, and when you have heard it all, then you draw your conclusion like any fair judge. You have people out there who know nothing, and they've already reached their conclusions. Is this a fair judge? He decides the case without hearing any of the evidence or the arguments? If so, don't let this judge preside over any of my cases. I want a judge who's fair, and you should too. So be a fair judge to yourself and wait until all the evidence is in before you decide the case. There are predictions you should know about, there are photos you should see, there's testimony you should hear, and there are ideas for you to think about. The stories of these people's lives is pretty fascinating. This is a very unusual alien contact case. I have not found any reason whatsoever to judge it a hoax or a fake. I was fooled by Dino Craspedon. He wrote a book called My Contact with UFOs, or My Contact with Flying Saucers. I'm not really sure which one's correct. But Samyasi said that he's a fake. I was very surprised. I had practically memorized Dino's book, Dino Craspedon, and then I learned that he's a fake. Sannyasi has killed my interest in other alien contactees also. When she reports someone a fake, I just sort of let them go. She's reported many of them as fakes. As you read more about this subject of aliens and UFOs and contactees and dimensions and universes and so on, you will discover all that Sannyasi said about various UFO contactees and channelers. Basically, she said that all channelers are fakes. A channeler is not a contactee, so be careful when you judge them. If they've been on board the ships, this is not channeling, that's a contactee. Anyone who has produced offspring with aliens is not a channeler. Read a book a day, as I do, and you'll learn a lot more. And it'll be much more difficult to fool you. A lot of these people give their testimony, and it corroborates other people's testimony to give you a consensus about something being true or not. That's the only way you can really tell, is to collect all the facts from everywhere, all of the testimonies, and put it all together into one big picture, and then it's easier to spot the piece that doesn't fit the puzzle. The people who are easiest to fool are those who hate to read and have no knowledge, no testimony, no photos, nothing. They just decide because of a hunch or someone told them. When the government tells you what to think, you end up judging every one of these as a hoax. So don't let the government do your thinking for you. And as far as reading a book a day, an automatic reader solves the problem of hating to read. The text just scrolls in front of your eyes and the computer voice reads it and you follow along, you watch it like television. Okay, let's begin Chapter 3. Aboard the Dal spacecraft. It was Meyer's 18th close-up observation of extraterrestrial spacecraft when at 2 a.m. in the early morning hours of the 3rd of February 1965, his birthday, he was summoned to a place which had only shortly before that been made known to him telepathically. It was severely cold when he left his residence and started that walk in the dark to a favorite place of his where he had gone alone for many hours. Can you imagine leaving the house in winter at 2 o'clock in the morning to meet an alien who's picking you up in a spacecraft? Back to the script. Just 16 days before that, he had been told that this would be the place for the contact on the day, a time then still to be fixed, and it was now confirmed as the contact point. Though clattering cold, he began to sweat as he climbed briskly up a little hill to the agreed-upon spot. He had barely arrived when he saw, shooting down from the sky, a brilliantly luminous flying object, which immediately landed near him on the hard frozen ground. The bright light went out, and he could see a matte, silvery, disc-shaped object, which stood majestically on its three landing spheres and seemed to wait for him. Following a brief telepathic instruction and a gentle urging, he went toward the ship, and was immediately lifted into it through an opening by some force, as there was no elevator nor any other means of entrance, something like he had experienced with the old man in the pear-shaped ship when he was a small boy. But the inside equipment was basically different from the ship of Sfath. There was only one seat in it, and there was nobody else. He was alone. He thought this ship must be remotely controlled, so he sat down into the single but very comfortable seat. As he was getting settled, a powerful change took place. The bright light, coming from everywhere inside the ship, suddenly went out, and then he felt like he was sitting in free space. He could see nothing of the ship and its equipment, and when he raised his hand before his eyes, he couldn't see it either. Then it started to move upwards in the night sky. It slowly floated at low level toward the nearby village, where it hovered barely 2 meters above the house his parents were living in, and just remained hanging in the air as Ascot's voice sounded in his head again and gave him some information about his further life and that of his family sleeping there below him, and that of his family in years to come. He had just married a Greek girl that same year. Then the still invisible ship began to move eastwards, and increasing its speed, shot up into the night sky without Meyer feeling any discomfort. Meyer later said, "There was no doubt that I was in space, very high above the Earth, which I saw only as a bluish-greenish sphere, but not actually a sphere, only part of a sphere, because now it looked like the moon when it's half full. I saw the dim contours on the surface as they faded into the darkened part." This was 1965, before our own first Earth deep space mission. Then his vision was blurred momentarily, and just as suddenly became visible again, and he could again see everything in the bright light of the inside of the ship. Then the entrance door opened, and he looked out, and was surprised to see that, completely unnoticed by him, the small ship had landed. He got up to step out and found that he softly floated down to the ground and landed on hard, dry soil. It was much warmer, and in the weak night light, he thought the ground landscape looked to be of a reddish color, and the soil was more sandy, while in the surroundings nearby, masses of sandy rocks rose in elevation. The landscape looked familiar as he leaned on one of the big rocks. It was warm. When he touched the rock material, he suddenly knew he was in Jordan. As he puzzled about that, a light fell from the sky like a stone. Bright and large as the moon, he saw it falling, growing bigger. Then suddenly it stopped and simply hovered quietly about 100 meters above the ground, without even slowing before the dead stop. The luminous object hung in the air for a moment, then suddenly settled to the ground and gently landed. The shiny metallic silent object illuminated the surroundings like day. He watched and waited for something to happen. Time passed and nothing changed, so he sat down on a rock and waited for nearly half an hour until at last something moved. Then a figure appeared from behind the ship and came up to within a few yards of him, as slowly the luminous radiance of the ship dimmed down and then went out. But in a very short moment it lighted up again, and its light began to spread like a dawn. In the weak illumination of that dawn light, he could make out the figure of a person, a female, Ascot, he knew. She walked confidently up to him and greeted him in a way that was familiar and known to him, but he could not figure out why. She seemed strangely familiar. When he asked about this, she only smiled and suggested he consider other lifetimes before this. Her dress seemed familiar also, though it was not much different from that of Svath. She wore a foot-length pleated gown of peculiar silver-white color, girdled at the waist. Her long blonde hair fell to her shoulders. She invited Meyer to join her in her ship, which he did, and that ship sped up into the sky, and like the remote-controlled shuttlecraft, also seemed to become invisible. The shuttlecraft was left in the labyrinth of rocks below, invisible to human eyes. Meyer saw the early light of dawn on an ocean, and he thought it must be the Mediterranean, which proved to be correct. The ship sank down on the ground where he could see the big pointed structures he knew to be the pyramids of Egypt. The dive velocity suddenly stopped without Meyer feeling anything, and then the sinking became a gentle floating down to the desert sand. They touched down a few meters to one side of the Sphinx, near a small Bedouin camp where the Arab-dressed people were beginning to break camp. They didn't seem to notice the landing of the ship, which puzzled Meyer, as he did not see how they could be missed. As the ship stopped, Ascot fastened a small device to Meyer's belt so they would remain invisible after they left the field of the ship. They could see each other and the ship, and they could see the other people perfectly, but they and the ship remained invisible to others. Amazing. After showing Meyer something of interest there, they returned and re-entered the ship, and it shot up rapidly into the sky, as before. The ship rushed back and landed at the same waste mountains of Jordan, where they had left the small remote-controlled shuttle, where Ascot took time and explained many things about his life and his education, and his finally taking over his mission. In Meyer's more recent incarnation history, he had been an Arab, though up to then, he had not discovered this. When he does, these scenes will be recalled, and then he will know the reason for his strange familiarity with the country. Among the many things discussed there aboard Ascot's ship, parked in the Jordanian mountains, was a resume of some of the information imparted to Meyer up to now, and a concise putting together of this, and more background information to reveal all of this in better perspective to help Meyer to understand the mission that was about to begin. In her own words, this is what she told Meyer at that time, reminding him of a transmission in 1956. Ascot. The creation is the basic foundation of life and all existence. In the force of the creation, we fulfill our mission, which is not only cosmic, but all universal importance, because the creation is the life. The creation is the existence. To fulfill our missions, we must neutralize the structure of our space-time and of yours in the respective universes to achieve harmonic transfer without damage to ships and universes. Huh? Jeez. Our home world is the Dal universe. In the system of, in a for you earthlings, strange system of just as strange a universe, of which there are several around your own familiar universe, but of these, other universes lie in other planes of our time and within completely unfamiliar to you space dimensions. Huh? Our universe is parallel to yours, and it lies, reckoned from your time, in an equal plane. The difference between our and your time is only a very little. The cause of our coming into your cosmos originated in earlier time, in the urge to the exploration of our race. Enabled by technical developments, one universe's barrier was penetrated from ours to yours, which admitted entrance for us into your time. Since then, we explore the widths of your universe, and some centuries ago, we discovered this sun system, and by that, your world. In our explorations, besides finding this world, we also found the ancient home world of those then responsible for the human life on this world. Because the human being of this earth did not originate here. Me is a descendant of those who originally came from that location, which you call the Ring Nebula, in the constellation Lyra. There is the real ancient home of the Earth human race.
The descendants of those early ancestors are no longer populating the regions of space and systems around the Ring Nebula today, but live on world bodies of those sun systems which you call the Seven Sisters, or the Pleiades. They are the far descendants of your actual ancestral forefathers. But about these matters shall you, counting from today within some 20 earth years, become initiated by the descendants of your ancestors themselves, when you are mature enough to stand the new explanations and recognitions. Until then you are obliged to learn much and develop your wisdom to fulfill your heavy mission. You are provided as already many others in earlier times before you. In this respect, you were already, before your birth, placed under the control of a certain one who had to protect and guide and teach you. Such a life is difficult because the concerned one has very much to learn. It is an obligation to all higher developed creatures to assist less developed forms in a helpful manner of responsible measure, to influence the evolution in given measure. This duty is an obligation of all creatures of all universes because it is a creational law. As we are here from a strange to you universe, to us also is here obliged the duty, in suited time, to make official contact with any developing forms of life. We have recognized in this, your universe, many things which are in need of change. Especially on this world, things are moving on a very dangerous course. The mankind of Earth has come into an age of knowledge and development disturbed by many factors which enslave and exploit him. The thirst for power has always and always will lead to wars and bloodshed, by which innumerable lives are lost. All of your developments and inventions are turned into death-bringing and senseless weapons. You have forced the cornerstones of life into dangerous means of mass destruction. And already within a short time, the Earth human will hurry out of his atmosphere in manned missiles. Soon will also be the time when he will walk on the Earth satellite, your moon, and speak great deceiving words of peace and love. They are only words of infatuation because the minds of those Earth humans strive only for invincible might and world power. Their words are only intrigues to deceive the real peaceful forms of life and force them into bondage. Your religions and politics of Earth cooperate in these concerns together and do not shrink from any deception to accomplish their power-hungry goals. Ooh. That's why the next Pope is going to announce the truth about religion. Earthman has advanced his evolution, but only in technical and material sciences. His spiritual evolution has been suppressed by worldly materiality. The Earth human has become able to destroy his world in an atomic explosion, which would bring very dangerous consequences for the whole system. Already one time, a similar catastrophe occurred in this sun system, when a second populated by mankind planet of this system was destroyed. By the unreasonability of the then living there mankind, the planet was exploded into thousands of greater and smaller pieces and destroyed. As a sister planet to Earth, she circled around the sun in that place where now the planet Mars orbits, and the pieces now circle as the asteroid belt. The name of that planet was Malon, which has changed little in translation. In German, it is known as Milona, and in English, Maldek. To prevent further madness like this is exactly the duty of the more advanced races. An atomic destruction of this Earth could destroy your whole sun system and push the planets out into the cosmos as extremely dangerous missiles. These could again destroy further sun systems and produce cosmic catastrophe. Even neighboring universes could be affected. Besides this, the sun system moves in space in such a way that the catastrophe could spread to other systems in a form of chain reaction in your cosmos. A similar event is already known.
Wow.
Now it's clear why they traveled from their future back to here. They had a problem in their future, and they traced it back to this time and this place. So they came here to help us. This world was destroyed by the ancestors of your human race, which brought religion to your people. A loss of Earth could distort the structure of space and time and produce great damage. So it is our objective to prevent this eventuality, and together with many other creatures of other worlds of this universe, to control the Earth and attempt to contain the already conjured mischief by Earth scientists and head this off. That is our mission. We are forced to interfere in the machinations of religion and politics for power, and to force leading personalities to reduce their intrigues. The list of leading personalities who will be murdered is long, but we are not able to change that. The guilt is of the Earth being itself, and it alone. We do not want any death and any murder, but we do want peace in this and all other universes. So you see, folks, we have a job to do. Each one of us must tell 10 every day. We need to get the truth out, in spite of the cover-ups, in spite of the lies, in spite of the propaganda. We're involved in this. You might think, why aren't they blaming just the leaders? Because each one of us has a role to play, and we're not doing our job. We have been convinced that we're powerless. We are not powerless. We have a duty to tell 10 and stop taking as much pleasure for ourselves and start doing something for ourselves. I will continue reading now. This may demand that we coerce the leading forces of Earth to peace, as they generate against themselves deadly enemies, for which reason many good men will die, and which, unfortunately, we cannot prevent. If our mission should fail, this could be a great catastrophe. But we have good expectations, and have prepared you since birth for participation. It will be your mission to initiate the Earth mankind into this truth, to bring the way of real peace and love. This time will be hurry, because at the point of time when you will come to attention, all other dangerous things will be on the move, which rise from the struggles for power. She talks funny. It's hard to read. Be conscious that when I give you permission to speak out after important events, you will then be in danger for your life, because you will reveal secret things. The initiators of these intrigues will try to deprive you of your life and will seek to kill you, because you reveal their secrets. So take care and do always exercise the greatest caution. Do keep all these circumstances to yourself and never try to circumvent this order. So listen carefully now to my words and remember the important facts. Thus you can observe the events and by this verify the truths of my prophecies. The unavoidable events of the future will come to pass with absolute certainty, just like the events of the past, to which I want to explain that the events of the future have already been set in motion in the past by the murder of Joseph Stalin by poison on the 5th of March, 1953, in Russia, by order of internal elements. The reason for the murder by poisoning was the kind of attention of Stalin to the Zionists, which in the following two decades will change into enmity against Zionism. For these reasons, the next following great man in Russia, Nikita Sergeyevich Khrushchev, will be forced to be dismissed in 1964 to give the last form to the justified enmity against Zionism. In the time of Khrushchev, will be elected a new president in America, but to be murdered in 1963 by secret order of the American Security Service, the CIA. Asket travels galaxies and she said, the CIA killed Kennedy. Back to the script. A second political murder will follow the first, only 5 years later, when by the same order givers, a new president candidate will be killed in the same way. CIA killed Robert Kennedy in 1968. They knew it in advance, they told Billy, and they told him not to repeat it. It had to happen. Back to the script. Also, the Holy Office in Rome will be afflicted by the worldwide religious and political intrigues. As with Stalin, the same very fast vanishing from the body poison will be used to murder in the year 1962 Pope John the 23rd, who will then have occupied his office only a very short time. I was unaware that they had predicted that Pope's murder also. Back to the script. Still, his successor, Pope Paul the 6th, will be switched off in the same manner by Cardinalian machinations, in cooperation with Zionist extremists who have already smithed their murderous schemes. Also in Greece, the state's first man, King Paul I, will die the same poison death in 1964. Oh, like those already mentioned. His successor, Konstantinos, will 3 years later be exiled as an exploiter of the nation by a revolutionary military regime. Also, Egypt will not be spared, for in the middle of the 70s, a dictatorial statesman by the name of Abdel Gamal Nasser will be deprived of his life by poison in the same manner as before him. His friend, too, the Emir of Kuwait, will die in 1965 by poison by the hand of his own relatives. Also at the hand of his own relative will, in 1975, die the King of Saudi Arabia, King Faisal, who will be shot to death. These are coming events of the next 20 years. Now, folks, I ask you, did they happen? These same people said that Russia will take Iran and Turkey. Okay, she told them about some of the events that will take place over the next 20 years. Now back to the script. Keep them very carefully and do not speak of them until permission is given. In these prophecies, you will recognize many religions playing into one another. And the coming events not only of political character, but of religious political nature. Consider in these matters we have not come to interfere in the religions and political concerns of earth or to lead the earth human beings. These matters oblige you in later times and to your followers who will then be able to spread the truth. We have also not come to have close contacts with earth men or to advance her in evolution by great amount. We are only here to fulfill our mission of preventing the catastrophe. Well, I want a role in it too. And I'm not waiting for someone.